Okay, so let's begin. Happy Tu B'Shvat to everybody. We are on Lamed Zayin Omud Beis. That's where they left off yesterday. I had done this on tape yesterday, so we'll just go back and chazer a few lines. It's not the end of the world. I got permission for us to chazer, so it's okay. So we'll begin about 8 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Zayin Omud Beis from Trokinin. Trokinin, we're going to have a couple of different definitions of what trokinin are. We're going to talk about what bracha you make on various items. So Lamed Zayin Omid Bey is about 8 lines up in the bottom. My trokinin. What is this dish called trokinin, and what bracha do you make on it? So Morris says, what is this? My trokinin. Trokinin peturim min achal. We had 2. We'll go back a little bit more. Amar Rava, vud trokinin chayavim b'chala. He says that the first opinion is a trokinin achayim b'chala. And when Ravin came and he said, name of Yochanan, trokinin peturim min achala. That's the girsa that we have. And on the side, the Vilna Gaon tells us that it's really only one girsa over here. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the name of Yochanan, the trokinin chayavim in chala. Kach tzorich lomar. So whatever the girsa is, whether it's a machlokis over here, or he just says straight out that yachayiv in chala, in other words, it's considered a dough, and you have to take off the truma called chala on it. So my trokinin, what exactly is this trokinin? So my Abayi, we'll have several different interpretations of what it is. Abayi says it's kuva di'ara. Rashi on the first of the widest lines on the bottom, and the Rashi says that this is you make osem makum cholo bekira, you make a hollowed out space in their oven. The nose of you put the flour and the water in that hollowed out space. It's like you're making it in a pot. So this is like you're creating a pot inside the oven. That's kuva di ara, and that's what this trokinin is. And this is considered bread that you would have to go and take dough from it to take the gift, the matnas kuna, to give to the kohen called challah. V'amar Abayi, he says trisa, something called trisa is peturim in a challah. This trisa, on the other hand, is not considered challah. What is this trisa? My trisa. So we have several different definitions for this. Ika diamre gevil miraseyach. What is this gevil miraseyach? So Rashi tells us 4 lines in the bottom. Nosin kemach umayim bekli. You put some water and flour into a utensil, into a kli. Ubochashin bekaf. You stir it with a ladle. Vishovkan alakira kishihi nisekis. And you pour it on the oven, like a griddle a little bit, like on the top of the oven, and it will spread out, and this will then, allow it to cook. So this is something that is not considered a bread. This is considered like a pancake or something like that. And therefore, this teresa, he says, is this gevil miraseyach, which doesn't have the status of bread, and therefore you don't take challah from it. Others explain this teresa, vika diame nama dehindika. This is a bread known as nama dehindika. Rashi explains, botzek sha'ofin bishput. You stick this dough on some sort of a spit. Umoshech oso tomid bishemin. You're constantly basting it over here with oil, or with beitzim, or with eggs, vishemin, with oil. And you're basting this on the spit. This also doesn't have the status of bread. It has the status of being like, a cake of some sort, a dough that's not bread. And also it doesn't have the status of bread, and therefore you don't take off challah from it. In a third opinion, hindika, suggest, means from Hindu, from India. Others say it means from Ethiopia. We have this throughout. What does this term mean, hindika? In any event, others say, vika diamre lechem ma'osu lekutach. Kutach was a certain dish that they had, which was made from spoiled milk. And the Gemara describes elsewhere that people that were dainty didn't enjoy this type of a dish. It was not a appealing dish to people that weren't used to it. In any event, they would have some sort of a bread that they would make for this. Rashi says, ain't ofer so betaner el b'chama. They would put this out, they would put their dough out in the sun, and it would heat up. It would probably also become spoiled somewhat. This dish was somewhat of a spoiled dish. In any event, that's what this teresa is over here. So 3 different definitions of what the teresa is. All of them would say that it's not considered a normal bread, and therefore you don't take off challah from it. So, but it's not used as bread. These are things that they come from a dough of some sort. They're made with flour and water. So you might think that everything that comes from flour and water, a cake you don't take off. You make yourself a cake, you don't take off challah from it. Challah is specifically for taking off from bread. Tani Rav Chiya, lechem o'asi l'kutach part min challah. So he said a similar thing, that this bread, if it was made for kutach, it's not really bread. This type of a bread, this solar bread, the bread that they put out in the sun, is part of from challah. I, elsewhere it says, Watanya chayu b'chala, then it does have the status of bread. So it's not the fact that it's made in the sun. It's not that. That's not the key critical factor. So what is the key critical factor? So Gemara says, awesome, kidiktani taima. There we learn the reason why. Rav Yehuda, Omer Yehuda says, ma'asel mochichin olel. The way that it's made, it determines it. A son ka'ovin, if you made it very thick, so then it's like a bread. And you made it mesuda, Rashi says, arucha umekutefes kiglusko's nose. So gali daite did the lechemos. If you make it like a bread, so then it has the halachic status of bread. However, if you made it kilimudin, Rashi says over here kinesarim ba'alma. It's like some sort of a just dough that you throw out there. Shlo hikbid ala risasam v'dugmaso. You don't really care about it. You just throw it out there. So therefore, we learn the gemara ma'id katan. So you make it over here with a certain irregular shape and. That type of a dough over here is not considered a bread, and it is potter. So the shape plays a role in it as well. The appearance plays a role whether we determine it's bread or it's not bread. Because again, you look at the ingredients, it's flour and water. So that's not the determining factor. Amalei Rav Yosef, Rav says Rav Yosef, this high kuba diara, this is what we said, yes, at the beginning of the shir over here, is what we said was where you made a space in the oven and you poured in the water and the flour into that space like it was a pot. So this kuva diara, my mevarach nilave. What bracha do you make on it? We said you don't take challah from it, so what bracha do you make on it? Amalei, mi sarvis namo. Is this anybody? Does anybody think that this is bread that you would make a motzi on it? Guvla bi'almo. This is just some sort of a dough that you have out there. It's guvla bi'almo. The Mogen Avraham says that guvla is belila raka ma'od. It's a very thick type of a dough, and that's by definition something you make a mezonos on. Mevarchem Allah, bari mina mezonos. So that's the opinion. Abaye said, ask Rav Yosef, what bracha do you make on it? And Rav Yosef responded to him, you make a mezonos. Mazutra kove suda seilave. Mazutra, however, sat down and was kove suda on this kuva diara. So therefore, ubarech ilave hamotzi lechem in aretz u'shalosh brachos. So he was kovei asuda. So he had to wash on it and he had to bench on it. There's no stira. You in fact have sponge cake, for example, something like that. And you have one slice of sponge cake, two slices of sponge cake. So you make a mezonos, you make an alamicha. But if the person says, "No, we're going to sit down and have sponge cake for lunch," so then you in fact, if you eat enough sponge cake, so then you're supposed to wash on it and you're supposed to go and bench on it. So that's this idea over here. Again, we're not really discussing the halach l'maisa. There's a lot of tosos over here that are very, very important halach l'maisa. And there are many, many, many in yonah. We're just scratching the surface over here. But this is very, very important sugi in terms of brachos on when something is a mezonos, when something is hamotzi. And we'll leave the halach l'maisa again for another time because we just have so much to do over here. If you make it like this, you can actually fulfill your obligation because this is called lechemoni. My timer. Why can you fulfill your obligation with this thicker dough? We're used to matzahs being very thin, flat matzahs. But in fact, the Sfaradim in many places today, the real Sfaradim, so they have a much thicker dough, a softer dough, like a pita. Their matzahs are like the lafas and the pitas, but they can be very thick or relatively thick. Ashkenazim don't have the custom, and we make our bread, our matzahs specifically very, very, very thin. But in the Eidos HaMizrach, so they still have these lafa, pita-like matzahs that are much softer and not as hard and thin as our matzahs are. So in any event, the person could be yotze his chova to eat bread, matzah on the night of Pesach with such, quote, bread, which is, of course, not chametz. The bread, we call bread, but bread is technically matzahs included in bread if you're kovei asud on it. The Sfaradim also, so the real Sfaradim, so they make a mezonos on matzah. They only make hamotzi on it, they kovei asud on it. But their mesorah is that you make a mezonos on all matzahs. In any event, the reason why you could be yotzeit on the night of Pesach is my time of lechem oni karina bay, because it is called lechem oni. It fulfills the definition of lechem oni. It only has flour and water in it, and it doesn't have anything else that they added to it to make it matzah shira, which the Mechaber, by the way, says you're allowed to eat on Pesach. Ashkenazim don't eat matzah shira on Pesach, but it's not chametz, but it's not considered lechem oni. It has to be poor bread. If you add fruit juices and stuff like that to it, may not be chametz according to the Sfaradim, but you can't be yotzei the lechem only aspect of it. Yom Marba Ravashi, hay duvsho de tamre, date honey, right? Tamre, tomorrow are dates, and the duvsho comes from the dates. That's what the Torah refers to when it says, eretz dates, shemen, u divash. It's not talking about bee honey, it's talking about date honey. So that type of date honey, what bracha do you make on it? Bracha lave, shakol ni'ebidvaro. You only make a shahakol on it. You might have thought that this is date honey, eretz chitas ora, and therefore this is one of the zayiminim, and you should make a bari pri or eitz on date honey. So he tells us you only make a shahakol on date honey. My timer, because why do we say that? Because zeya ba'amu, it's just like the sweat. The zeya is the sweat. It's just like a secretion that comes out of the fruit, but it's not the essence of the fruit itself. Kiman, who does this go like? Kiaitana, like the following Mishnah and Trumos. Ditnan. It says over there, Dvash Tmorim, if you have date honey. V'yein Tapuchim, apple cider, if you have the wine of apples. Not wine, we call it apple cider, but it's referred to over here as Yein Tapuchim, the wine of apples. V'chometz Sifunios. The Chometz Sifunios is made from grapes, but this is grapes that are at the very end of the year, and they're not very tasty. They're not sweet grapes at all. And therefore, the Rashi says, Sofei Anovim, the very top, first line of the thin lines in Rashi, Sofei Anovim, Shem is Bashlim Olomis, they'll never ever mature and become good grapes. V'osimam Chometz, and make out of them vinegar. So these are vinegar grapes. They're not really good for wine. So the vinegar that comes out from them, and Sharmei Peiros Shel Truma, or any other juices that come out of fruits that are Truma. So what's the din? This Mishnah in Trumas tells us, Rabbi Elazar Mechayev Kerem Chomesh. If you eat this by the Truma, so you have to pay not only the principal, but you have to pay a penalty, because they consider this Ochal. Rabbi Elazar says this is considered a food, and therefore you have to pay the additional penalty of a Chomesh on top of the principal. Rabbi Shua Poter, Rabbi Shua says that this is not considered the essence of the fruit, and therefore you only have to pay over here. Rashi says, "The zeh ba'amuho, the ain shame truma chal olav, ain l'cha pri hanita lemashke elazeis v'yanov b'uvad." It's a fundamental machlokas. How do we view juices? So Rashi says over here that Yeshua says we don't view these as the fruit itself, and therefore you didn't eat truma over here. This isn't called eating truma, and you don't have to go and pay your pati. You're not allowed to do this l'chatchila, but he says this isn't considered ochel, this isn't considered truma. This is like a byproduct of truma, and you therefore do not have to go and pay the penalty for it. So therefore, that's a fundamental machlokas. This is a fundamental machlokas in Psak Halacha. We only say, according to this, that olives or grapes, you make a special bracha, or you make at least a eitz. Why you make a bar priya gofen? You go up in bracha, and on olive oil, we say, if you have any anigron, so then you make a bar priya eitz on it. But what about orange juice? So orange juice isn't considered the orange. Apple juice isn't considered the apple. Tomato juice isn't considered tomato. Beer isn't considered the barley. But there are poskim that disagree with that psak halacha. And we don't necessarily disagree with those poskim all the time. The Chazon Ish, for example, had a major shita, which many people still follow. And that is that when you specifically grow something for that purpose, so if you're growing oranges for the purposes of orange juice, so it's a different orange than the oranges that they grow for eating oranges. And when they grow apples specifically for the apple juice, so it's actually, that's the purpose of the planting. Chazon Ish paskens, you make a bar priya eitz on the orange juice and on the apple juice.
You have to know, obviously.
But when Tropicana makes something, the oranges that Tropicana makes, they don't say, oh, let's take what any oranges we get. They bedafka, all the orange juice companies are bedafka growing those oranges for their juice. It's not like you walk into one of these places on the street where they take any orange and they squeeze it. They don't really care what orange they have. What? Right. So therefore, while all Gemara seems to paskin, and while I would dare say the majority psak halacha is that you make a shahakal on it, there are those that say that if it's specifically made for that, that you in fact make the higher bracha. That's why this fruit was planted. And it's a fruit. This isn't the zeya. This is the reason that you planted the fruit. Amalei ha-rabbanim l'ralva, run of the rabbanim asked to Rav over here, trima mahu. What is trima? So what is a bracha on trima? So Rashi tells over here, Trima is called Dover HaKotush Ktsas, something that's chopped up a little bit, Venom Arusuk, but it's not totally disintegrated. In other words, there are small pieces of this item over here. And he asks them, what's the halacha? What brach do you make on something that's chopped up? Again, this could have naphtamina, for example, for applesauce. What brach do you make on applesauce? Well, there are pieces of apple in it, then it's very clear. But it's not. It's so well mashed, so then what brach do you make on it? So that's what he was asking me. This trima that has pieces still in it, but it's chopped up. So what brach do you make on it? So Rava, when he was asked this question, Lo Hava Daiti, the Rava, my Kamala, he didn't understand what he meant by Trima. So Rava's Talmud over here, Yosef Ravina commanded Rava, and he saw that Rava didn't understand what the word treatment was, so he didn't want to just tell Rebbe, this is what treatment means. So he asked the questioner, this Talmud that asked Rava, he told him, Amalei, what type of treatment are you talking about? The Shum Shemei Kai Amris? Are you asking about sesame seed that's chopped up? Oh, the Kurtume Kai Amris, or saffron? Kurtume is karkom, which Rashi says over here, which is saffron. So, are you talking about chopped sesame? Or are you talking about chopped saffron? Or the purtzini? Rashi says over here that purtzini are anovim that you chopped up and you take out the seeds from inside of them and you add water to them to make mead, to make some sort of a temet over here. So you're using, again, this crushed seeds afterwards. So in all of these things, he showed Rava that he's talking about crushed things. So which one did you mean? That's what he asked him. Oh, the Portini Kamis. So this is what Ravina said to the Talmud in front of Rava. Once he said this, Rava realized what this trima was. It reminded Rava, he knew what he was talking about. Vadai Kamis? Are you talking about the Chashilta? Rashi's not going to use the word Vadai. So he says, you're talking about this Chashilta? So as Rashi says, Mitoch Diri Ravina, Haven Rava es Hashela. Rava now understood what the questioner was asking him based upon what Ravina said. So he said, you're asking about a crushed item, Dover Moch, Shaltani? Kamo Bei Chashilta, the Shchita Schulin. Look, we have the eggs of the Chashilta over here in Chulin. Notice Rashi doesn't call it Chulin. Rashi calls it Shchita Schulin. Rashi doesn't like to use a vulgar type of a language. Chulin. To call a Gemara Chulin is pastish. So Rashi, in his pureness, in his unbelievable tzidkus, always refers to Chulin as Shchitas Chulin. He doesn't like to refer to Masechta as Chulin. That hasn't gotten somehow down to us. We refer to it as Chulin. But Rashi, in his holiness, wouldn't recall a Masechta Chulin. He would call it Shchitas Chulin. In any event, so now you're reminding me of this, the Chashilta you're talking about, Vadi Karmis, that you're definitely talking about, the Atkaron Milsu, you reminded me of the Halacha, Hodiyom Ravasi, that which Ravasi said, Oh, Tamrei Shel Truma, the dates of Truma, Mutu Lasos Mehem Trima, you're allowed to make for them Trima. In other words, you can crush them somewhat. Now, you know we're not allowed to destroy Truma even for the benefit of using it for something else. You're not destroying it wantonly, but you're not allowed to destroy Truma. You're not allowed to change it from its primary purpose to a secondary purpose. So he says, Tamari Shel Truma, Till Truma, Mutu Lasos Mehem Trima. You're allowed to make from a Trima. However, also Lasos Mehem Shecha, but you can't go make beer out of it. You can't make date beer out of it because that lowers it in its purpose. So Truma has to remain in its highest purpose. Otherwise, it's called destroying Truma, which even though you say, I have a very good reason why I'm doing this, and you're allowed to do it if it's not Truma, you don't say Baltashkus or anything like that. But here, since it's Truma, you're not allowed to degrade it. So making it into this Trima over here, that's allowed, because that's not called destroying it. It's still a bari pri ha'et, and therefore it's not a problem. But if you make it into beer, so the date beer, you make a shahako, that's called ruining it. V'hilchus ha'ad v'paskin, tamer, if you have dates, v'adinu trima, mevarchel ha'bari pri ha'et. Oh, so we paskin that this is, if you have pieces of the item still there, even though they're crushed somewhat, even though it's not an intact apple, so you have pieces of applesauce, so then you do make a bari pri ha'et on it. My time, what's the reason? Because b'musayu kaimi d'mikari, because it's like it was originally. It hasn't really changed. It's just chopped up. So if you cut up an apple, what, you make a shakel if you cut up an apple? No, of course you make a bari pri ha'etz on it still. So if you chop it up and there's still recognizable pieces, so we don't say it changes the brach. Shesisa, this dish called shesisa. Rashi says, Michael osi mikemach kloyos. It's made from toasted kernels of wheat over here. Sinis yavshu b'tanu, you dry them out like a popcorn over here in the oven. Ba'od sha shibolim lachim, while the shibolim is still moist, you dry it out. And it says in Erevin, on the scissors, you see this in the Masar Sashas on the side, it says, v'nos l'socho dvash, and they added honey to it as well. So it's like honey popcorn. Okay? So this shesisa, what bracha do you make on it? Rav amar shahakul niyabidvor. Rav says, it's no longer called grain, and therefore, you're making the bracha on the honey over here, and you make a shakel in the abidvaru. Ushmo right now, bari min ezonos. It's still called grain over here, and you make a bari min ezonos on it. This popcorn grain, and it's toasted grain, so you make a ezonos on it. Our Rechisa lo pligi. Rechisa says, it looks like Rav and Shmuel are arguing with each other. No, they're not arguing with each other. Why not? Habi ava habi raka. It depends on how thick the consistency is over here. If it's thick or if it's thin. Habi ava habi raka. One is thick, one is thin. What is which? Ava, the thicker one, lachila avdila. That's made for eating purposes. So therefore, that is a bari minim ezonos. Raka lirufua called the law. It's only made for refuah purposes. And whenever you're taking something for refuah purposes, you only make a shahakol on it. That's assuming it tastes good. You're getting some benefit from it. So again, this has a lochel ma'aser ramifications. The person takes a pill with orange juice, assuming orange juice is a shahakol. Let's leave that as that. So if a person takes a pill with orange juice, so you make a shahakol on it, because you're by definition getting hadar from it. I don't really want to drink the orange juice, I'm just taking my pill. No, since it's orange juice, you're getting benefit from it, and you make a shahakol on the orange juice, even though you're doing it for the purpose of swallowing a pill. But a glass of water, assuming the guy is not thirsty, and he's only taking the pill, he just had a whole meal, right? He's filled to the gills, and he's not thirsty at all. Says, oop, I forgot to take my blood pressure medicine. He takes his blood pressure medicine with a glass of water. He benched already, so he would have to make a bracha. He took a glass of water to drink. Here he's just taking it for the pill. You do not make a bracha. You don't make a shahakol. But if juice, you always would. Now, if the guy's thirsty, then he does make a bracha. So it all depends on your feeling at that time. If you're in doubt, so then take an orange juice. And this way you don't have a shayla. I don't know. I'm really thirsty. I'm not. Or if you're really all thirsty, so make a shakal, take a drink. When you take a pill anyway, you always should drink before you swallow the pill. People don't realize. They swallow the pill and then they drink. That can sometimes get caught in your esophagus. The way you should properly take a pill, they don't teach this to patients. The way you should probably take a pill, you should always lubricate the esophagus first, take some liquid first, then take the pill, and then swallow the rest of the water. No, so I taught you something today of value. Okay. Masa Rav Yosef.
I said you take blood pressure medicine and then you know how you're talking to.
Yeah. Okay. What's the Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef has the following shaila. Vishavin, he says, everybody agrees. Now he's asking on Rav Shmuel over here. You're telling me that there's no argument over here between them, Rav Chista, but I'll tell you that there is. Because we have elsewhere, Vishavin, it says, Shebokashin ashestus b'shabbos, you're allowed to go stir. Bokashin means to stir this shesus, that's the shesisa that we talked about, on Shabbos. Vishosin zesam amitzri, and you're allowed to drink zesam amitzri, is another medicinal type of a drink on Shabbos. Now, if you're telling me over here the difference between the Ava and the Raka is one is for mizonos, enjoyment purposes, and one is for medicinal purposes, so if you're telling me you're allowed to do this shesisa, to stir it on Shabbos, how would you be allowed to if it's for refuah purposes? The light, the not thick one is for refuah purposes. If that's why you're drinking it, so refuah b'shabbos v'sharei. You're not allowed to take medications on Shabbos because of the gzeirah shchikas samamon. If we allow you to take medicines, you may come to go and grind up herbs and medications. That would be an issa d'oraisa. So the rabbis will go, don't take a Tylenol. Even though nobody here in this room, no pharmacist knows how to grind up acetaminophen and make it into a Tylenol. So nevertheless, you're not allowed to take a Tylenol unless you're a cholish and bosakana. There are a whole bunch of things that this dinder abanon, you wouldn't be allowed to make, you got a headache, a severe headache, but it's not life-threatening. So you wouldn't be allowed to make Tylenol on Shabbos. But to take Tylenol, you'd be allowed to. But you're not allowed to stop and take medications if you're just a michush biyama. You have a minor little ache or pain, or for other purposes that aren't, you're not even a cholish she'ein bo sakana, never mind the cholish yesh bo sakana. So mishare, you know I do that.
Liquids too.
Same thing applies. So we'll see. The heter over here is that these things are also drunk by healthy people. A guy has a little tickle in his throat and he wants to have a hot tea. Oh, you can't have hot tea. Your medicine on Shabbos. No, people drink hot tea. So you're allowed to drink hot tea even though you have an ulterior motive and it's going to soothe your throat. So you take a cough drop. Well, everybody else takes those cough drops because they're sucking candies, right? There's no such thing as a cough drop. They're sucking candies, right? They market them as cough drops. They're sucking candies. So people drink, you know, eat sucking candies all the time. So you're also allowed to take a sucking candy. I have a sore throat. I'm doing it to soothe my throat. Isn't that? Because people eat this on a normal basis, so you're allowed to eat it even though your purpose is for refuah purposes. But here, if the sole purpose of this is for refuah, how are you allowed to stir it and take it on Shabbos? It's a dis of the Rabbanon. And don't you hold? But not a famous Mishnah in Shabbos, in Yuma as well. Anything that is an ochel, a person can take it for refuah purposes on Shabbos. And anything that's a drink, shosa, a person will have to drink it on Shabbos. My examples of the hot tea, or if a person is taking a medicine for fiber, right? So I better eat this, fiber bar, whatever it is, because I want to regulate myself better. So since people normally eat that, since people normally drink that, so you're allowed to do this, even though your purpose is refuah. So Ella, my Yisuk Lamem, what are you going to say? I'll be a gavrila achila komachabin. So everybody else is taking these things for achila. So hachanami, you're allowed to go take it for refuah purposes, even though you're doing it for refuah purposes, but since people eat it or drink it, so this guy that's drinking the shasisa, so other people also drink the shasisa, thick or thin, so you're allowed to do it. Not a problem. Lishnachrina, which is almost the same exact thing. Sometimes you have lishnachrina. This is another way we send the base medrash lavdavka. Sometimes lishnachrina is a whole new approach, and this lishnachrina is not a whole new approach. It just is a slight modification. So the second version of this answer was Ella Ma'is Lamemar Gavli Achilu Kamachaven Urful Meliko Havya. You're telling me that the purpose of this is for achilah purposes. No, he happens to get some side benefit over here, right? His purpose is to drink the tea and also take care of his sore throat. So over here, you're allowed to go and take this shasisa, even though you're getting medicinal benefit from it. But since people normally eat this and you're able to eat it, so therefore, not a problem. The Gemara says, Utsricha de Rav, and we need the statement of Rav. We delete the words Ushmul over here because we're really focusing over here, according to our understanding, that we delete the word Shmul. Not everybody deletes the word Shmul. Some keep the word Shmul over here. So since Shmul was referring to the Ava, and we're not bringing your raya to the refuah from the Ava, we're bringing the raya to the refuah from the racha, which was what Rav said. So therefore, the tricha the Rav, we need what Rav said over here. Why? Because the mehai, if we only had the Gemara in Shabbos, so you don't have a meaning, you know what it would have said? La'achiluka mechavin, refuah me'eluka havya. Because that's in a situation where you're really having it, the guy's thirsty, so he has a tea. And no, it's good for my, I'm davening musaf tomorrow, so I want to make sure my voice is nice and good. But he's really drinking it because he wants the tea. And no, he's also getting medicinal. So maybe there you're allowed to take it. But if you're really doing it lechatchila for medicinal purposes, my throat bothers me right now. Everybody else at the table is having the tea because they like tea. They're having a coffee and the tea and cake. And I'm having a tea because my throat hurts me. So therefore, I'm doing it lechatchila, not for the drink, not for the ochel, for the refuah. So I might have thought, if you only have the Mishnah and Shabbos, that's not allowed. Lo livrecha lavi klal. You shouldn't make any bracha on it because I'm doing it l'shem refuah. This is like, I'm taking the pill with a glass of water. Not because I'm thirsty, not because I have something in my throat. It's because I need to get the pill down. I don't want to choke on it. So therefore, you might have thought in that situation, you don't make a bracha. Kamash v'lon. Kivin this lihanah minei boy bruche. Anything that gives you hanah, you do make a bracha on, even though the purpose is for medicinal purposes. So the orange juice with the pill, you do make a bracha on it. I am doing it solely to take the pill. I wouldn't be drinking this orange juice right now. I'm not thirsty. But you're getting benefit for drinking the orange juice. That's the one difference between water and everything else. The water, you don't say we get benefit from it. It's essentially something that if you're thirsty, you get benefit from. If you have a desire to drink something, you get benefit from it. But if your desire is solely to take the pill, the guy has a cough. Hey, every now and then a speaker gets a cough and he takes a glass of water. So he doesn't have to make a bracha on it. If he's only doing it, you have to know yourself. Well, I'm also thirsty right now, so then you do make a shako, because then you're getting benefit from the water. But if your sole purpose, this only applies to water. Everything else is by definition giving you hanah. It has taste to it, flavor to it. So by water is the only thing that we really have this halacha l'maisa. Castor oil, so that's probably mazik. It's probably dangerous. So something that's very bad tasting, you don't make a bracha on. So they bring down. So if somebody has to sometimes take something on a tinus, so some suggest that you go put in, a person has to drink a pill, take water on the Yom Kippur, so some suggest you put in something that's foul, something that's bad tasting, and this way it removes the benefit. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Shalapatsu Omer Motzi Lechem and Oris. Here we go to a very interesting discussion. What is the bracha on bread? Right? There's something you sound like you'd ask a kindergarten kid and they know the answer to this. And they know the answer to this, but they don't understand it. So hopefully now we'll go above kindergarten and now we'll understand this beautiful bracha of a Motzi Lechem and Oris. Tana Rabbanan. So the Mishnah said you make a motzi. Now, ha motzi lechem in oritz. Everybody in this room knows that that's the bracha. But that's not everybody's opinion. Tana Rabbanan. The Brisa says, Ma'o Omer, what's the bracha on bread? So the Tanakam and the Chachom say, Ha motzi lechem min ha'aretz. And Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, motzi lechem min ha'aretz. Not ha motzi. The brach is, Baruch HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, motzi lechem min ha'aretz. Now, you'll be shocked at the next line of Gemara if you don't remember this from previous learnings. Amar Rava, the word motzi, be over here is the introductory word, with the bracha of motzi lechem min ha'aretz, Kuli amalo pligi diofik. Everybody agrees that you're Yotze by saying Motzi Lechem in Aretz, because the word Motzi means past tense, God who brought forward the bread. So that's what you're thanking Hashem for, not the future. When you make a bracha, you're thanking Hashem for what he did, not for what he will do. So here, thank you God for giving me this bread that you brought forth from the world. So Motzi, everybody agrees, is past tense, the Chachamim and Rabbi Nechemya. Motzi is the Afik Mashmah that God brought this forward. The Chsiv, Kel Motziyam, Mi Mitzrayim, the God who brought us out of Mitzrayim. The Machlokis is on the word HaMotzi. Keep reading about Motzi. The Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, Sabri, HaMotzi also means the Afik Mashmah that you brought us out, past tense. The Chsiv, HaMotzi L'chamay Mitzrayim L'chamesh, that you brought forth the water from the rock. But Rav Nechemya disagrees. Rav Nechemya Sabah, you know what he holds? So about Hamotzi Demafik Mashma, that you will bring out. Hamotzi, the one who will bring out the bread. Shenemar, Hamotzi Eschem Itachas Ilos Mitzrayim, that God will take you out of Mitzrayim. At that point, that's in Shemos. We're still not out of Mitzrayim yet. So Hamotzi Mitachas Ilos Mitzrayim. So God is going to take us out. Hamotzi, the one who will take us out. How do you make a bracha? Hamotzi. Shrov Nechemya says, you're not Yotze. Listen to this. Atana says you're not Yotze. Every single person throughout history that's made Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz, and Nechemya says you weren't Yotze. You didn't make the right bracha. And the Chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi Nechemya in the sense that Motzi is also good. But they say, no, the Gir says Hamotzi. Why is that? Rabbanan, how Hachi Karmelu? They say that that pasuk over there, Hamotzi, Eschem, Itachas, Elos, Yitzrayim. Right? I said Rishmos. It's in the beginning of the era. It's in Sefer Shmos, but it's the beginning of Va'era. And there, HaKadosh Baruch is saying, the Amar Kutsh Brichu, L'Yisrael, Kad Mafik Noluchu, when I take you out, Avid Noluchu Milsa, I'm going to do all these magnificent miracles, Kiechid Yaditu, that you should know, Yanohu, that I'm the one who, the Afkis, that took you out, Yitochu Mi Mitzrayim, Dechsev, Vidatem, Kinashem Al-Shechem, Hamotzi Eschem, Mitachas Yivos Mitzrayim. So, he's telling us, you will know in the future that I'm the one that took you out. So the Chacham holds Hamotzi means past tense. Rabbi Chaim says Hamotzi means future tense. And therefore, it's an incorrect bracha because you thank Hashem for what you did, not for what you will do. And therefore, Hamotzi is the right girsa. Dichsiv, if you're not taking Hashem, Hamotzi. That's the Chachamim. Rabbi Chaim disagrees. Or even it could mean not only in the past. That's what we understand Hamotzi, but Ruchemi says, no, it means in the future. This is a major fundamental machlokes. What is the bracha? How do we paskin? Listen to this story. The rabbis praise to Rav Zeira the following person. We don't say his name. We only say he's the son of Rav Zvid. I'm not sure why we don't say his name. Maybe because he's not viewed so positively by Rav Zeira in a moment. In any event, we don't say his name. They praised this Talmud Chacham in front of Rav Zeira. Who was he? He was the son of Rav Zvid, Bar Rav Zvid, the son of Rav Zvid, who was the brother, Achua, of the Rav Shimon Bar Zvid. His brother, Rav Shimon Bar Zvid, we mention his name. And this Ploni, Bar Rav Zvid, the brother of Rav Shimon, we don't mention his name. In any event, they praised him to Rav Zeira, the Adam Gadlu. He's a very big Talmud Chacham, Ubaki Bebrachusu. And his specialty, his area of expertise is Brachus. Oh. Amalem, Zera tells the Talmidim, Kishyavu Yilechem, next time he comes, Hadiyu Yadai, I'd like to hear this guy, this big Brocky and Brachos. No, Zim Nuchal, the Ikle Lagabe, next time he comes to him, Afikule Rifta, they bring bread over here. And what does he do? This guy is given the honor of being Motzi, everybody in the bread, so they bring him the bread, V'Omar, Barachat Hashem, Okenu Echalom, Motzi Lechem in Aretz. Omar. Rav Zeira says, this is the guy you're telling me such a big Baki in Brachos? Zeu, Shaomri, Malav, Adu, Gol, Hu, Baki, Brachos? Who? Wow. He said the wrong bracha. He said Motzi. But this guy said Motzi. So, Yomar, he says, Mishlom, Yomar, Ha Motzi. If this young Talmud Chacham had said, Ha Motzi, whoa, Ashmin and Taima, Bashmin and Hilchasa. We would have learned something from him over here. That the pasuk means over here past tense, and we will learn that the halach is we passing like the rabbis over here, not like Rav Nechemya. Now that he says kira and the hilchos of rabbanon, and the halach is like the rabbanon. But now that he said elo d'amar motzi, maika mashmalon. What's this? Is the great time of chacham? What's he telling us over here? That motzi is good. Everybody knows motzi is good. You should have made a big chiddush and tell me we passing like the chachamim that even hamotzi is good. Now, what was this poor Talmud Chacham thinking?
He brought him bread, that's all he was supposed to do.
Well, he said, what am I doing wrong? The Chachamim say Yotze with Motzi. They don't disagree with Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya disagrees with the Chachamim and says, you're not Yotze without Motzi. So, Mimanushach, the guy says, if I say Motzi, everybody says I'm Yotze. If I say Hamotzi, the rabbis say I'm Yotze. But Rav Nechemya doesn't. So I'll take the lesser of two evils. Why should I put myself in the setting of Machlokas? But Rav Zeira didn't agree with that. This Talmud Chacham, he did this to get around the Machlokas. But that's not the halacha. And Rav Zeira said, you got to teach people what the halacha is. And the halacha is like the Chachamim. The Hilchasa, ha, motzi lechem in Oretz, the Kaimalik Rabbanon. Because people have to know that we passing like the Rabbanon over here. You can't just pick whatever you want. If we passing like the Rabbanon over here, then Rav Nechemya Shita falls off and you're not even choshesh for it. Now, sometimes we try to be a motzi both. But here, Rav Nechemya Shita was felt to be incorrect, that you can't be Yotzi without Motzi. The rabbis wanted to teach an idea over here that you have to say Hamotzi. That means the Amri, the Ofik Mashma. Now, why don't we say, like Rav Nechemya, in life, right? We tend to follow, Mishnah Berurah always follows, Rav Shechter Shlita always said that the Mishnah Berurah follows the style of the Marami Rutenberg, who's a great, great Gadol, the Rebbe of the Rosh. And he always tried to reconcile shitas so we could follow both shitas rather than say we're picking this one and not that one. So that's the star wolf of the Mishnah Berurah that he tries to say, hey, if you want to be Yotzi both, this I can be Yotzi both. So what's wrong with this poor Talmud? He's saying I'm Yotzi both. I didn't do anything wrong. Everybody says that I'm Yotzi. And you want me to go like only the opinion that says that I'm Yotzi only if I say Hamotzi and not like the opinion of Nechemya. So there's a beautiful Magali Siyam, you see this in the Gilgan HaShas over there, the Torah Chaim on Sanhedrin rather. The Torah Chaim on Sanhedrin tells us that this is really alluding to the Machlokes as to whether Hashem created, how did Hashem create bread, and in the future, how will Hashem create bread? What was the way bread came out before Adam and Chava sinned? You went to a tree, went to a bread tree, and you went to the pumpernickel tree, and you took a pumpernickel off the tree. You wanted a bialy? You went to the bialy tree. You wanted a bagel? You went to the bagel tree. You wanted rye bread? You went to the rye bread tree, and you plucked it like you pluck an apple. And then we sinned. So Rav Nechemya holds, this was a miracle for then, and it will never happen again. And we want to teach us the miracles like the Chachamim. Yes, the Chacham say it happened then, and Mirtz Hashem, the V.S. Moshiach Tzikeinu, we're no longer going to have to work so hard, it's no longer going to be B'zeas HaPecha Tocha Lechem, there's going to be pumpernickel bread trees, and rye bread trees, and white bread trees, and whole wheat bread trees. You'll have all the different types of trees, you'll pluck a loaf of bread, a bagel off the tree, and they want to teach us this idea. Don't say like Rav Nechemya, that no, this is only in the past. This miracle will occur again. Hamotzi implies past and future. Like you want to say, Mel, a continuous. That right now we don't have this. Right now we don't have a pumpernickel tree. But Mietz Hashem, Mashiach comes, we're going to have pumpernickel trees again. That's what the Gemara in Torah Chaim and Sanhedrin tells us. Beautiful idea. It makes the Machlokes so much more robust and it makes it more, so much more understandable why we would dafka on a pasuk like the Chachamim and not what we would normally do, say, well, go like with Nechemya because everybody agrees with Nechemya is okay. The Chachamim don't disagree. They would say Motzi is fine. So why don't we all say Motzi? Tosfos brings out a whole bunch of other reasons why not. My goal is Sayam is beautiful. The Torah Chaim is beautiful, but Tosfos brings down maybe more practical reasons. Tosfos says, if you say Motzi, you have the liaison problem, right? Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Motzi. So whenever you have mem together, so you don't say both mems, and that's not the proper way to say bracha. When a guy lanes, you're supposed to stop between B'nei Yisrael. How many Bali Kriya? B'nei Yisrael. So there's one yud. No, there's two yuds. B'nei Yisrael. So you have to stop. You have this all the time. You can have this every pasuk. So a Baal Kriya has to be careful to stop in between because there's two mems, two yuds, two whatevers. So therefore, Tosfos says if we had the word motzi, it would be a problem. It would be not so clear that you have. So therefore, the rabbi said ha motzi. Another reason he says ha motzi means Hashem motzi. We want to remind everybody that God is the one that takes it out. And if it's a beautiful minhag, that there are those that lift up the bread when they say the shem of Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem. And Hamotzi, they lift the bread up again to allude to this idea that the hay is also teaching us an important idea that Hashem is Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz, not us. A beautiful idea. Again, the brachos are so beautiful. Then Tosfos brings down over here there's a 10-word pasuk over here. Matzmiach chotzel abhema beisav avodas adam lahotzi lechem min haaretz. That's why we have over here this bracha lahotzi lechem min haaretz based on this pasuk, which has 10 words in it, which is also connected to 10 words that the bracha of amotzi lechem min haaretz has, which is why many have the minhag that they pick up both breads with their 10 fingers, and bedafka you're supposed to hold the bread with both hands when you make hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So again, they're beautiful customs based upon all these little diukim that we have over here. Okay, weiter. Ali Yorkes Omer, on vegetables, we said you make a bar priya doma, and Rav Yehuda said you make bar bini deshon. So k'tani Yorkes do me the pas. So we make an analogy over here between Yorkes and pas. Ma pas shenishtana, they are, just like if you change bread by baking it, you take the grains and you bake them, you make hamotzi, so af Yorkes, na minishtana, they are, you still make a bar priya doma, even if you cook the vegetables. I'm Rabbi Noi, Mishmei Dabai, so also Mary, Shlokos, Mavarch, and Lamb, Bari Priyad Doma. So you see from here, the cooked vegetables, you also make a Bari Priyad Doma. Now we delete the parentheses over here, the Riff and the Rush don't have it, because it really just reiterates what we said. Alternatively, Tosa says, Dikitani, instead of Mimai, Dikitani, Yerokos, do me the pass. So either way, they both say the same thing. Either you delete it, and it says it anyway, or you just repeat it again a little bit. Now, you see that on cooked vegetables, you make a Bari Priyad Doma. Darish Rav Chisda, Mishum Rabbeinu. Now we have two versions over here. The first one is Rav Chisda, who dashed in the name of Rabbeinu. Who's Rabbeinu over here? One who Rab. Here the Gemara tells us that it's Rab. Shlokos, cooked vegetables, stewed vegetables. The difference between bishul is less cooked than stewed, which is shlokos. But practically, he had no difference for us. So, vegetables, shlokos, mevarchan lam bar pi adama. Rav says you make a bar pi adama. Rabboseinu, hayordim yertzrol. Rav Chisda says about Ula, he calls him his Rebbe. He says about Ulu, came from Eretz Yisrael, said the name of Yochanan, Mishmei Rav Yochanan, Amar Shlokos, Mevarchan Aleihem Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvar. He says, no, you've deleted it from its primary role as a vegetable, and by cooking it, you only make a Shehakol. Tani Omer, I myself, Rav Chisda says, it depends. Kol Shechli Lasa Bar Pri Adama, if you eat it raw, you make a Bar Pri Adama, and now you cook it, Shloko, then you lower it to Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvar. Kol Shechli Lasa Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvar. If it's not something that's eaten raw easily, and now you cook it and make it edible, so then, shlok bar priya doma. So here's the compromise shita, which is really more of the halacha. It depends. We basically say, halacha, if the vegetable can be eaten raw or cooked, then you make a doma on both of them. But like a potato, nobody eats a potato raw. So a potato, if you eat raw, so then you make a shahakal on it. And something, which we'll give examples in a moment, that if you only eat raw, but if you cook it, it's not as tasty, so then you make a shahakal on it if you cook it. We'll give examples in a moment. And Tosas has a whole bunch of other examples as well. We won't go into the Tosas, we'll do the Gemara. So Bishlama, according to Rav Chisda's version over here, kol shetchilasu shahakal nehiyeh, something starts off as a shahakal, and if you cook it, it gets better. You make a bar pi adam, and that we have lots of things. Mishkach's law, bekurva, which is cabbage. People don't eat raw cabbage. You cook the cabbage, it tastes better. The silka, beets. People don't eat raw beets. You can. They're edible. But you make a shako. But you cook it, it gets better. You make the bar pri adama. Ukra, pumpkin. People don't eat raw pumpkin. You cook a pumpkin. So then you make these higher level bracha, bar pri adama. Ella, what's an example? Kosher, you lost a bar pri adama. Shilko, shako. Hey, you have that. Hey, mishkach. So when does something get worse by cooking it? So he says, yeah, I'm Rav Nachman. Mishkach is like bitume vikarsi. By garlic and leeks, they taste better if you go and eat them raw than if you cook them. Tosa says, that's not true. Go look around. People cook them all the time. He says, that's not because the garlic is becoming tastier. It's the meat that you're putting the garlic into. It pulls out the taste from the meat. That's why it's tastier. But if you just cook garlic, it wouldn't be very tasty. So therefore, it goes down. No, that's the answer. Whether that's the metzias today or not, that's the metzias in those days that it was. Fine. That's the first version of this. When Rav Nachman came, this was Rav Chisda. Rav Nachman was a little bit older than Rav Chisda and a little bit more of a Talmud Chacham. In his seniority, the Rav Chisda, so he'll refer to Ula as his chaver. That's the main difference between these two versions in the first part. So Darish of Nachman Shem Rabbeinu, and who's Rabbeinu? Menu Shmuel. Here we call Rabbeinu Shmuel. He dashed this in the name of Shmuel. So it's a machlok is Rav Shmuel. Shlokos mevarchan lehem bar pri adama. He says Shlokos make a bar pri adama. Rav said Shlokos also make a bar pri adama. No machlok is Rav Shmuel on that. The chaverenu yordim Eretz Yisrael. His chaver who comes from Eretz Yisrael before Rav Chisda referred to him as his Rebbe. Here he says he's my chaver. Comes from Eretz Yisrael, Uman Ula, Mishmei de Rav Yochanan, Omar Shlok, is Baruch HaLeim, Shachon Yilvaro. No machlok is over there in what Rav Yochanan said. Vani, I, Rav Nachman, I myself say, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, I myself say, Vani Omer, B'machlokis Shinuya, this is the machlokis, the Tanya, Yotzin B'roki Kashoy Mevushal, Shaloni Mok, the Rameyer. Rameyer says, in regards to Pesach, in the matzah, you can fulfill the matzah, even if it's gebroxed, even if the matzah over here is soaked. You can go and fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah if it's a brox, or if it's cooked, as long as it's not disintegrated. Cooked matzah would be okay as long as it's not disintegrated. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Rav Yossi Omer, no. Yosin Biroka Kashari, if it's gebrochs, if it's wet matzah, you're still okay. However, Avalobim Bushel, because cooking it lowers it. It's no longer called bread. So Avalobim Bushel Nimuach, even though it's not disintegrated, the cooking lowers it. So therefore, the opinion that says you make a Shaako goes like Rav Yossi. The opinion that says you make Bari Pri Adama goes like Rav Meir. So the cooked vegetables, it depends. Does it go down by cooking or not? The opinion says it doesn't go down by cooking. That's like the opinion of Rav Meir. And the opinion says it goes down in cooking Mikishako. That goes like Rav Yossi. However, the Gemara says Veloi. That's incorrect. Because the Kuli Am Mushlok is working on the land, Bari Pri Adama. In fact, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi both say that on cooked vegetables, you make a Bari Pri Adama as long as they're still good. And they don't go down because you just cooked them. I why by the matzah does it go down if you cook it or not? That kind of look at Rav Yossi, awesome. You know why Rav Yossi said by the matzah you can't use cooked matzah? Mishum el mishum debayinan ta matzah v'leka. Because matzah has to have the taste of matzah. And by cooking it, you delete the taste of matzah. Now it tastes like something else. It's no longer tasting like matzah. That's why you're not Yossi with it. Because you have to have the time of matzah. That's why you don't have matzah shira. That's why you don't have matzah that's not chametz stick, but it's not just flour and water, because then it loses the taste of matzah. Matzah shira doesn't have the taste of matzah. That's why you can't use it, according to the opinion, say it's not chametz. Therefore, you need time matzah v'lekum. Aval hocha, I feel Rav Yossi molded. But in regards to vegetables, he says you don't need to taste the vegetables. You need to have a good taste. It's a good taste. It's still called a vegetable. Make a bar piyadama. Amr chiyah bar abba. Amr Rav Yochanan. Shlokos. We work on a bar piyadama. He says you make a bar piyadama on shlokos. That's Rav chiyah bar abba. Rav Yom Rav Yehudah Zamar. Amr Rav Yochanan. He said, Rav Yochanan. Shlokos. We work on a shakul niyabivaro. Machlok is what Rav Yochanan said. Rav chiyah bar abba said Rav Yochanan said you make a bar piyadama. And Rav Yom Rav Yehudah said you make a shakul. He says, Kava Ula L'Shabosh, the first opinion that we had, that's also said Ula in the name of Yochanan, in both versions that we had, Ula said in the name of Yochanan, then you make a Shahakol, they were based upon Rabbi Binyamin Yefes. Toy Bar of Zera. He made the mistake by listening to Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes. Toy Bar of Zera, I'm sorry, Toy Bar of Zera, Zera was amazed. How could Ula follow the opinion of Rav Yom Rav Yefes and not follow the opinion of Rav Chiyah Bar Rava? Rav Chiyah Bar Rava was a greater Talmid Chacham than Rav Yom Rav Yefes, and therefore Ula never really heard Rav Yochanan say it. He heard Rav Yom Rav Yefes say it, so he incorporated that as Rav Yochanan, but he made a mistake by listening to Rav Yom Rav Yefes. Rav Chiyah Bar Rava diek v'gam yishmais Rav Yochanan Rabbi. He was very, very careful, every word of his Rebbe, and Rav Yom Rav Yefes wasn't so careful, lo diek. Well, furthermore, Rav Chiyah Bar Rava called Tlos in Yom and Mahad Tamudi Kamei Rav Yochanan Rabbi. Every 30 days, he went over his learning. Tosa says, Lav Davki went over all of his learning. But the Mitzvah Esa says, yeah, he went over all of his learning. Not just what he learned in the last 30 days. So he did, he chazed everything according to Mitzvah Esa and according to Tosa, he Lav Davka. Whatever he learned in the last 30 days, he chazed. So he was very, very careful about what his Rebbe said. From Yom Yavis Lom Mahad, he wasn't so careful. And furthermore, behold, Bar Mindain, Bar Mindain, he said, forget these. Listen to this. Even if you don't like proof number one or proof number two, the Ha'u Tumasa, there was this once, this Tumasa over here, a certain type of vegetable, the Shalklei Shiva Zimin B'Kadera, they would go and take this turnip over here, this Tumasa, and they would go and stew it in the seven times in the Kadera to make it sweet, otherwise it wasn't tasty at all. And B'Achli Lei B'Kinuchsu, then they would have it for dessert. And they went and asked Rav Yochanan, what bracha do you make on it? And also showed Rav Yochanan, from home, B'Brachi Lave, Bori Pri Adama. Ah, Befeirish, he said, this stewed vegetable, seven times they stewed it. You make a bar pi adama. So again, Rav Binyamin Yefes is wrong. Three proofs that we have that he's wrong. And finally, a fourth proof. Yavram Rechia Barava, and he raises Rav Yochanan Shachal, Zayas Moliach. I saw him eating a salted olive. Tosos and Rashi, both those say over here, Umoliach Kiroseach. Salting something is like cooking it. So therefore, the din should be the same. And Ubarachale, Tchilo Abasof. And he made a bracha at the beginning at the end. What bracha did he make? Iyamis Mishloma. If you tell me over here that he made the bracha of Shlokos, on the shlokos over here, this salted olive, which is like shlokos. So if you say over here, b'musayi kaimei, so it's the same status. So b'tchilu b'varachla b'rpia eitz, then he made a b'rpia eitz on the beginning, and he made it. I'll have eitz afterwards. V'lusof b'varachla b'rocha achas mein shalosh. Eliyam is shlokos, la b'musayi kaimei, if you say that it's changed its bracha. So granted, the beginning, he made a shakul. B'shlam b'tchilu b'varachla shakul nir b'varo. Ela b'sof, mai b'varach. What would he make it afterwards? This opinion holds that you don't make a b'rin nefashos except on basar and dogim. So you wouldn't make a bracha afterwards. And they saw him make a bracha afterwards. Ergo, he must have made an eitz and ala eitz. Eitz, bar pri eitz, and ala eitz, the ala michya for the for the fruits, and it couldn't be that he made a shaka because there is no bari nefashos afterwards. The Gemara says no, maybe not. Dilma bari nefashos rabbis chazano akol mashibara. That you could say no, maybe he holds like this. The fourth proof over here is not such a good proof. We'll stop over here. Everybody have a wonderful day.